Thank you all for joining us in this week's forecasting webinar. Today I have Bob Lane with us, who is the senior analyst for the biomass-based diesel section of our site. And he's going to be taking us through some of the changes and what's going on in the biofuels section of our forecast. Bob, would you like to take it from here?
Thanks, George. Be happy to. I think to begin with, I think you got a screen that you're going to...
Yep, you got it right there for you.
All right. So if we can, I guess, move to RINs, we can look at the RIN forecast. So we've had interesting data come out recently. You know, the EMTS was out. It's had some predictable scenarios with it and some scenarios that aren't quite so predictable. I guess ethanol has been, you know, something that has been easy to read, whereas the biomass-based diesel section has been a little less easy. If you look at our RIN chart, you can see back early the D6 RINs where they started moving in early February. That was shortly after the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals made their announcement regarding the three refineries where they were, told the EPA to go back and look at how they're reviewing small refinery exemptions. At that point, popular opinion was that these small refinery exemptions were going to possibly come to an end, which would create more pressure on RINs, both for the D6 RIN and as well as for the D4 RIN. There's certain areas within the RFS program that have gaps in them. One of them is the advanced biofuel standard. The advanced mandate doesn't have the capability of producing everything it needs, which I'll touch on in a minute. The D4 standard is pretty well self-contained, but the D4 and the D3 are both nested within the D5, which adds for some confusion. But anyway, getting back to our RIN discussion right here, RINs have moved higher. They after that decision, and rightfully so, they've stayed up there elevated. You know, ethanol production's come off quite a bit due to the pandemic, and biodiesel hasn't. So I mean, that's kind of the predictable versus the non-predictable part of the EMTS data that we've seen. George, if I can switch to, I guess, sharing out my screen.
Go right ahead.
Be happy to do that.
And while Bob's doing that, if anybody has questions, drop them in the Q&A section. All right, Bob, we have your whole desktop. We see you right there.
Okay. So over on the right, you can see where the RIN forecast is. Is that correct, George?
I
can't see it on mine. All right. So looking at what the EPA and the EIA do during a typical scenario with RINs in the forecast for biofuels is they create an estimate. And there's been some information and misinformation about this recently. You know, they create these mandates, but these mandates are based on an estimate. They're not based on actual numbers. So in, for instance, here, I pulled up and printed out what the EPA had for their final numbers for the 2020 estimate and what it's looking at now. So the short-term report from the EIA on energy has been updated since the finalized numbers were for 2020. We can see gasoline and diesel were originally figured to be 142 billion gallons and 55 billion gallons. These have been revised lower to 127 and 51. Renewables and gas, originally the EPA was estimating that there'd be 14.42 billion gallons of renewables and gas and 2.48 in diesel. Given the pandemic, the numbers have gone down, 12.82 for gasoline and 2.02 for diesel. The exempt, these are the SREs that these have always been a big question mark in the past. We really haven't had this information available to us, and now, EPA created that dashboard, and they do allow those numbers to be published now. So we've got exempt gas and we've got exempt diesel. These lower the entire amount of fuel that we need. Below is, you can see, the percentage standards. Cellulosic, 0.34, biomass-based diesel is 2.43 billion gallons. It's a 2.1% of the total fuel total. Advanced percentage is 2.93% for 5.09 billion gallons. So as you can see from what was originally stated and what was what seems to be coming into play, is these numbers are fluid. They're not held in place. So the 15 billion gallons that we had in ethanol at the beginning of the year is going to fall down to 13.58. The 2.43 billion gallons of biomass-based diesel, that mandate's going to drop to 2.20. So, you know, production has been strong. And right here, look at what possible biomass-based diesel production might be. And the reason I'm going to go through all this is that it has an impact on RINs and what we're looking at. So you got the advanced biofuel production data, which the D5 category up above up here, it was 5.09 billion gallons. Within that, it's the D4 program and the D3 program are nested in it. If we remove the amount of gallons needed for production for D4 and D3, that leaves roughly 730 million gallons pre-pandemic and 660 million gallons after pandemic that are unaccounted for, that need to be filled. Generally, those gallons get filled by biomass-based diesel production, or in years when sugarcane ethanol is running strong, that also works to fill those categories. Let's see if we get down to balance in biodiesel gallons. So there's 340 million gallons pre-pandemic, 350 million gallons after the pandemic. The reason for that change is projected production. This is where we see sugarcane ethanol dropping off. Ethanol got hit hard. There's not sugarcane ethanol really coming into the country right now. So the forecast for imports fell from, our forecast fell from 210 million to 120 million gallons coming in at this point. Possible D4 production needed, including the D4 mandate and the residual D5, at the beginning of the year looked like it was maybe 2.77 billion gallons. After the pandemic, 2.56. When we look at the EMTS production data that came out through June, there's been roughly 1.44 billion gallons needed. You know, if the EIA is right on their numbers on what the reduced diesel and gasoline consumption is going to be within the country, we probably are only going to need somewhere around this 2.56. We're on projections to hit 2.90. So while we expect RINs to rise a little bit in the near term, we expect them to come off going in the end of the year. Right now, we're looking at a gradual takedown on RIN prices. RINs are still going to be hypersensitive due to the small refinery exemptions that are out there. That hasn't been decided on what's going to happen. And that, you know, creates a lot of uncertainty in the market. So we feel that, you know, RINs might be at a near-term high or close to a near-term high right now, and might begin to decline a little bit, especially given the strong production that we've seen within the D4 category, renewable diesel and biodiesel in the past few months. They've barely come off. In April, ethanol production dropped by 43%, something like that. Biodiesel production came off by 6%. It actually climbed last month and was higher than it was during June of 2019. If production keeps going that high, RINs won't need to stay elevated for that long.
Bob, I'm going to kind of interrupt you real quick. Instead of waiting to the end for this question, I got a question that came in is, what is included in the D4 production?
So D4 production includes biomass-based diesel. There's renewable diesel, heating oil, and renewable jet fuel. I think I probably have a schedule that might show that on here. If I pull it up real quick. Go over to 2020. So the D4 category, it's got biodiesel, it's got renewable diesel. Renewable diesel is also goes into the D5 category as well. It's got renewable jet fuel and renewable heating oil. So those are our D4 categories, and they produce the bulk of what's needed for D4. The D5, there is renewable diesel that comes in there. It's mostly imports that arrive. There's also sugarcane ethanol within the D5, which from year to year can be huge. It was big last year. It obviously isn't as big this year given the pandemic. There's just no reason to be bringing in ethanol when cars haven't been hit in the road. But things are picking up. We could see some additional sugarcane ethanol coming.
And Bob, just quickly to help those that aren't so familiar with it, how is the D4 different than the D5?
You know, D5 is advanced-based. Well, D4 is actually part of the D5 within itself. D5 is a measure of greenhouse gas reduction that's allowed, and biodiesel fills that. The D4 fills that. The D4 is the only category that can fill the D4 mandate, the D5 mandate, and be used to fill the D6 mandate. And it has been called upon to do fill the D6 mandate in the past, which was a point I was going to try to address while I was talking, but I think I glazed over it. I talked about the advanced biofuel gap. There's also an ethanol gap. When ethanol production gets to be over, expected to be over 10% of what the total gasoline production is, that the next available molecule that's cheapest on the list to use is biodiesel, and biodiesel / renewable diesel has been used in the past. Not sure if that's answering your question, George.
Okay, well, thanks for answering that, Bob.
All right, I jump back into this real quick. You know, I don't think I have much more to say on the RINs. We do have low carbon fuel standards about to release their first quarter 2019 data, and we project that first quarter might see 51.5 million gallons of biodiesel going into California's LCFS, and there might be 164.1.2 million gallons of renewable diesel. CARB's forecasts are a little different than ours and listed below. Of course, CARB only puts out their estimates once every 5 years or so. So we're at a little bit of an advantage. We're updating ours and they're not updating theirs. And no one saw this pandemic coming. Generally, this renewable diesel number could be a bit higher. It kind of depends on what's going to happen at the end of the year. I mean, what did happen at the end of the year. We're looking at renewable diesel to move lower in the second quarter than in the first. However, with them knowing that they're doing the catalyst change for a 4-week period, they might have sent more renewable diesel than we're aware of during Q1. So that'll play out. But right now, these are just our estimates on how we expect the year to pan out. And George, I guess that probably does it for my explanation. If anyone has any questions on this or anything else, please feel free to ask now or contact me. It always helps when I know what people are thinking out there and what they're interested in as well.
There is no more questions that we have from the audience as of right now, Bob. If anybody needs to get a hold of you, the best way to get a hold of you will be by email. Is that correct?
Yep, email or phone call. Either way works fine.
All right. And his email address is bob@thejacobson.com. Bob, thanks for taking the time to go over this with us, and we'll follow up with any other questions that the audience has.
Great. Thanks, George.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.